All right, question for you guys, everybody here. Who in the house today is married? Raise your hand if you're married. You shouldn't be going, huh, I wonder. Yeah, you know, you either are or you're not. It's kind of one of those things. It's like, are you pregnant? You either are or you're not. How pregnant are you? I've asked that before. Well, fully, completely. All right, you're either married or you're not. All right, who in the house is engaged? Do we have any engaged couples? Yes. All right. We have married couples. We have engaged folks. Anybody in the house single today? We can move you to another section with others. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Now, people are single for various reasons. Some people choose to be single. Some people wish they weren't single. Some people are single again because of divorce. And I want you to know, I just want to say a word. At Quest, we believe in forgiveness and grace and second chances. Amen? Amen? So if you've been through that, God loves you, and he gives us second chances, and I'm so glad about that, that we can be a church like that. Some people are single because they're widowed. There are different reasons for singleness, but no matter who you are, we all raised our hands at one point in that, either being married, engaged, or single for whatever reason. This series is for you, called Intentional Marriage, because if you're married, and that's the majority of folks, I would guess that your marriage could improve a little bit, right? And if you're like, nope, my marriage is fine, it doesn't need to improve, turn to whoever's with you and say, can our marriage improve? And I bet they'll say, yeah, it could improve just a little bit. All right, if you're here today and you're engaged, we're going to be talking about some things. I would call this wisdom, all right? This is wisdom. You're going to be hearing about things that are going to help you in the journey ahead. It's not that we're better than or anything like that if we've been married. I'm 22 years in my marriage, but I've just been on this path for a little while, and I think I have some things I could share with you about marriage, and it's not just stuff I came up with. It's actually from God's word, from Scripture, God's design and plan for marriage. So I've got some wisdom that I want to share with you. Now, if you're single for whatever reason, you may be married someday, or you may be married again. And I know some people go, nope, that'll never happen. Then they meet somebody and they're like, yep, it's happening again. All right. It happens. Whether you're married or not, or plan to, it could happen. And not only that, even if you go, I'll never be married or whatever, there are people in the family of Quest that are married. And because of that, and we believe we're a community, we believe we're a family, because of that, we should all care about each other's marriages. Would you agree with that? Because my marriage affects you and your marriage affects me, and so we need to care about one another's marriages because we are a family. So I want to get at this. I want to talk about marriage today. Everyone here approaches relationships and marriage specifically in one of two ways. You either approach it intentionally or unintentionally. All right, and we're going to kind of define what that looks like. But everybody here approaches marriage either intentionally or unintentionally. Now listen to this, so important. The way you approach your marriage, either intentionally or unintentionally, determines the outcome of your marriage, where you end up. It's not an accident that you're where you are today. It's because you either approach your marriage intentionally or unintentionally. One of the greatest movies, I think, of our time, I love this movie, I've watched this movie multiple times, and it's not Braveheart, by the way. Some of you who know me, that's a great movie, but really not about marriage. One of the movies that I love is Forrest Gump. Y'all seen the Forrest Gump movie? Somebody said, I wanted to shout, run, Forrest, go ahead if you want to shout it. It's all right. I mean, that's not what we're going to... But there's a line in the Forrest Gump movie that kind of gets at this whole idea of intentionality and not being intentional, those two extremes. And so I want to read a quote as you're watching that on the screens. Here's something Forrest Gump said. This is a quote right at the end of the movie. He says, I don't know if we each have a destiny. You remember this? Or if we're all just floating around accidental-like on a breeze. But I think maybe it's both. But I think maybe it's both. You know how he says it? Maybe both are happening at the same time. All right, so Forrest Gump, the great theologian, right? His answer to how life works is maybe we have a destiny, maybe we don't, maybe we're all kind of like a feather just floating around, so I brought my own feather today, right? And you know, if you apply that to marriage, your marriage is like a feather. If you that's an unintentional approach to marriage. It just kind of means it. Who knows where it's going to end up, right? It just depends on where the wind blows the feather. Now, I would say to you, as much as I love Forrest Gump, as much as I love the movie, he's a bad theologian in his approach to life. Because if we approach life, and specifically, and he wasn't talking about marriage, he was talking about all of life, but if we approach marriage as kind of a feather that just kind of let it, it's just going to go where it goes. I hope it works out. I don't know if it's going to work out. I'm just kind of approaching it that way. You know, sometimes, and in the movie, with this last scene, the feather just blows, and then it kind of wisps off and nothing. You know, sometimes feathers land in dog dew. Do you know that? And you might go, well, yeah, that's where my marriage is right now. Seriously. I know. And it's because your approach to marriage is unintentional, accidental-like. Just kind of, I'm just going to let it go where it's going to go. And see, some of you, some of us in this room, our marriages need triage and treatment like immediately. There are people in the house today, it's like, you need to get your marriage into an ER. Like, quick, like, because you're bleeding to death and it's going to be over. I want to challenge you in this series, as I'm introing it today, as we get into it over the next 5 weeks, that you would hang on and that you won't do anything for the next 5 weeks, all right, except be here and give it a chance. Let us look at what marriage can be and what it looks like when it's not unintentional, but instead it's intentional. I'll say more about that in a moment. Others of you, if you go, no, my marriage is good, well, it could be better. We've said that, right? It could improve. Ask your spouse. It could get better. And so I want to talk about, too, how it can get better if you would stop viewing it as kind of an accidental, like, unintentional thing. And even if you have a great marriage, and by the way, statistically, very few of us in the room have great marriages where we both would say it's great. Now, one person might, but if the other doesn't, guess what? It's not great. Oftentimes, Shauna keeps me straight because somebody, how y'all doing? Great. Oh, Shauna's with me. We're all right. Right? You have to be truthful then in that moment, don't you? All right, so I want to talk about this in this series, and I want to ask you, like, why would you approach marriage this way? Kind of accidental, like a feather blown on the breeze, unintentional. Because I think marriage is the most important human relationship of your life, so why would we approach it unintentionally? Now, I get the God relationship, the divine, that is the most important relationship we have, but I'm talking about humanly speaking. If this, my relationship with Shauna, your relationship with your spouse, if you're married, if you're engaged, you're about to say, this is the most important human relationship of my life. Why would we approach it unintentionally, like this feather, just wherever it ends up? It's the most important relationship we have. Some people like to argue with me on that and say, no, kids are the most important thing. And I go, I hope not. I love kids. We're all about the next generation here at Quest. I love my children. I have four. But do you know what my children need more than my love for them? My love for Shauna. A child's number one need is to know mommy and daddy love each other. And so they look to us for this. Shauna and I have to be connected before we can be connected with our children. So I challenge you that your marriage is the most important human relationship that you have. So why would you risk it by approaching it accidental-like? Can you imagine if we really stood in front of each other at the altar and said what we really meant? Hey, you know, I'm going to approach this accidental-like. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, great. Do you think the person would stand there and finish? Most of the marriages I'm doing would be like over halfway through instead of 10 years later or 20 years later or whatever, because we approach it in this unintentional way. So we need to approach our marriages with intentionality. And that's why we're calling this series Intentional Marriage. Now, what does intentional mean as it relates to marriage or anything in life? What does intentional mean? Well, the word intentional, let me share with you a few synonyms. These are words that really define the word intentional. Here they are. Ready? Designed, planned, deliberate, purposeful. John, are you saying I'm supposed to have a design for my marriage? Yes. The best marriages always do. Are you saying I'm supposed to have a plan for my marriage? Absolutely. The best marriages always do. Are you saying I'm supposed to be deliberate in how I approach my marriage? Purposeful? Yes, y'all with me? They always do. The best marriages always do. People sometimes, I'm going to leverage my marriage for a moment. It's not the perfect marriage, but I have a great marriage. And people often wonder how my marriage is great. And I always say these things. Are you willing to do these things? And so then I say, what's your plan? Tell me about your marriage. Tell me about your plan. If I asked you right now, what happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday during the week? How often do y'all go on vacation? These kinds of things. How often are you engaged with each other? How many minutes a day do you plan to speak to each other face to face? If you have no plan, that's why you're where you are. Oh, John, I plan at work. I have to plan. I mean, you should see my garden. It's all planned out. I get tired of planning. No kidding. We plan everything but our marriages, the most important human relationship of our lives. But we need to plan. We need to be intentional. So I am so blessed. I did not know the word intentional. I knew it was in the dictionary, but when I met my wife, I learned the word intentional. She taught it to me. Shauna, I call her sometimes the queen of intentionality. If you know her at all, you know that's what she's like. She's very deliberate, very intentional about her relationships, very intentional about our marriage. I cannot get far without her drawing me back to this intentional approach to marriage. And I consider that. I didn't at first, but I consider it now. I'm just being honest. I consider it a huge blessing. If you are blessed to be married to somebody, whether it's the man or the woman in the relationship who is intentional, consider yourself lucky and blessed. Rarely are there two people like that. You ever notice opposites attract? What's up with that? Right? But God teaches us much through that. But this is what it means to be intentional. So, again, why would you risk the most important human relationship of your life by letting it be a feather? See, it just kind of, I have no idea where that's going to land. Can I give you a better image for marriage? Arrow. Arrows don't float in the wind. They go where you send them, don't they? It takes a bow and then the arrow. Arrows always move towards a what? Target, right? Feathers do not. I can't throw this at a target and expect it to get there. It's just not going to do it. The wind's going to take it where it's accidental like. It's just going to land where it wants to. But arrows can be shot towards targets and you can actually hit the target. Now, sometimes you miss. And that's okay. That's God's love and his grace, right? That sometimes we try in marriage and sometimes we miss, but we keep trying. But our marriages are more like arrows that are sent towards a target rather than feathers that just kind of get blown about in this life, all right? So arrows are what it's about because arrows are always moving towards targets. So what is the target for your marriage? That's a good question. What is the target for marriage? If I were to ask that, if I were to take a poll, a survey, hey, what's the target for marriage? I wonder what answer I would get. There could probably be a lot of different answers, but can I share with you that it is revealed and it is clear. It is very clear what the target for marriage is. Now, I need to say a word about this. I'm talking about Christian marriage. talking about God's view of marriage, not just whatever we want to come up with. God has placed a target and said, this is what marriage is supposed to be about. So this is what we need to aim at. This is what we need to be intentional about. So if you're in the room today and you're engaged, single, married, whatever, and you're Christian, then this is what I'm about to share with you is the target for your marriage. Now, what if one of us is Christian, John? It's still the target, your part in the marriage. What if we're single? Well, I guess it'd be, what if I'm single? Well, then it's still the target for what you prepare for and how you live your life, even in singleness. So let me also say this. If you're not a Christian, you're off the hook with what I'm about to share. Sometimes some of you come up to me, I appreciate you, I love you, but sometimes you church folks will come up to me and say, I can't believe you said they're off the hook. Are you kidding? Some people don't hold that worldview, right? I always tell people, this is my worldview, so this is how I approach it. And so if you're not a Christian, I'm glad you're here. I really am. I think these are some great things, but I'd want you to know you're off the hook. It's not until you decide and you say, I'm a Christian, I want to follow Jesus, then Jesus says, great, I love you. Now let me give you the target for what relationships look like. So if you are a Christian, this is certainly the target for relationships and for marriage. Now I'm going to read it to you today, and then we're going to move into it and look at it in different ways in the next few weeks, all right? We're going to look at a scripture that many of you have heard before. In fact, you're going to yawn. And then I'm going to challenge you and say, yeah, as you yawn, you continue to be a feather instead of an arrow. This is the target. And so we ought not yawn when God says this is the target. We ought to be engaged and hungry for it. Amen? This is what we aim at. There's a reason for this. There's a reason God designed it this way. Now I'm going to read it. It's in Ephesians chapter 5, but I decided to read it in the Message version of the Bible. I don't think I've ever read it in that version of the Bible, and it just kind of says it in a neat way. There's various translations of the Bible. This one is called the Message. Look at what it says. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. That's good. Have you been courteously reverent to your spouse this past week? Are there ways you haven't been? All right, let's look. Then it says, wives. All right, so see, it's presenting for the target for the wives. It says this, understand and support your husbands. Guys, you like that? Men, you like that? Come on, you know you like that. That's what you're longing for. We're going to get into that. Understand and support your husband in ways that show your support for Christ. Notice it's linked to Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to the church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ, as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. All right, chill. I know what you're, you know, we get into this submission stuff. It's not talking about hierarchy or anything like that, okay? We're going to look at what that means over the next several weeks. It has to do with loving our spouse. All right, by the way, that's the part for the women. The rest of it is for the men. It's much longer. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives. Women, would you like your husband to go all out in his love for you? Amen? Now, if you're engaged, that's right. If you're engaged, you're like, why is he saying it that way? Guess what? Can I show you the graph? I'm just going to draw it in the air. For going all out for your wife, engaged, marriage. Am I right or am I right? You guys know I'm right. It's one of the main things Sean and I talk about. Like, why aren't you how you And then I go, why did I try so hard? You know? Guys, you understand what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. But look, this actually says this should be the graph. You're engaged, you're chasing the person, pursuing, and then you get married, you know what? Keeps going up. It drives me nuts. I remember preaching a sermon years ago, first time I ever preached on marriage in a church, and somebody came up and me, been married for years, said, that's wonderful that you feel that way, but it doesn't last. And I remember thinking, that's not going to happen to me. Amen? That's not going to happen to me. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. See, the picture is what Jesus did for the church, who did what? Died for her on a cross. Husbands, go out and love for your wife as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. Are you bringing the best out of your wife, husbands? Dressing her in dazzling white silk? Yep, you got to go buy some clothes. Radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They really are doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of the body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother, cherishes his wife. You're no longer two, you become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. I love that Paul says that. I don't understand all this. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. Ephesians 5 is the target for your marriage. Our marriages are supposed to be headed towards that. And how can that happen if our marriages are feathers that just float about in the wind? They'll never get there. Our marriages should be arrows. Amen? Are you hearing me? Our marriages should be arrows headed towards the target. It happens when we are intentional. So this series is about intentional marriage. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to take Ephesians 5. We're going to look at each of those sections. And we're going to talk about, this is what love looks like for a husband. And we're going to talk about, this is what love looks like for a wife, because it looks and feels different. Did you notice that Paul said it? He wrote Ephesians. He said it in different ways. He addressed wives. He addressed husbands because it looks different. It feels different. Have you figured this out? Men and women are different. Husbands and wives are different, and it feels and looks different. That's what we're going to get into as we move into this over the next couple of weeks. If there was one thing I could ask you to do today, as we get ready to embark, you ready? This is what I would ask you to do. You ready? Tell your marriage where to go. You like that? It's supposed to be a little funny. Because some of you have told your spouse where to go. You may not have said it with words, but you said it with attitudes and actions. We do it all the time. Tell your marriage where to go, and it will go to where you tell it to go. Tell it to go to the target that God has set up for marriage. Amen? Tell it to fly to the target. And don't think it's going to happen overnight. It takes a long time to get in a bad place. It takes a long time to get out. And listen, if you're in a bad place, it's okay. You know what I love about Jesus? Is he came to people who were not perfect. He came to people who didn't have it all together. He came to people who were in a bad place. God told Jesus where to go. Go there. Go to Bethlehem. Go to the cross. Go. And Jesus has rescued us because of it. You know, I had this image of the arrow and the feather most of the week, but I didn't realize it until this morning. It's kind of one of those aha moments. I thought of these as two different things. Do you know originally how arrows are made? Feathers are placed on the end to give them what? Direction, trajectory. It wouldn't fly right without the feather. And I kind of think if this is your marriage, it's not that it's over. It's not that you need a whole new marriage. It's just that you take this and you place it in the hands of God, and he says, let me work on that, and he makes something better out of it, and he sends you towards the target. Amen? That's all we need to happen to us. So if there's one thing I could ask you to do today, it would be tell your marriage where to go. Towards the destination, towards the target that God intends it. Will you do that? That's what this series is about. Will you start there? Will you give God a chance in your marriage, in your relationships? If you're single, will you give God a chance to show you a new target for what marriage can look like. If your marriage is struggling, will you give God a chance? Not your marriage. I know you're like, I can't give my marriage another chance. You're not giving your marriage a chance. You're giving who a chance? Who? God a chance to now work in your marriage. He can do the work. Let's pray.